Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit who's with us. We couldn't do anything without him. So we value his presence. We value his leadership, his guidance, and we make him welcome to move among this congregation, to move among those that are watching us. Father, I ask you to meet needs, give answers. Let there be some breakthroughs. Hallelujah. Hope restored. Thank you, Father. Help them to know who they really are in Christ Jesus. And that you really have made us all more than conquerors. But we have to understand, Lord, you can't conquer unless there is some opposition. Where there's nothing to oppose us, there's no need to conquer it. So I pray, Father, that they won't become discouraged because of opposition, but know that they are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, and that he'll walk with them through every step of the way. And we thank you for that, Father. May they have open ears and open heart to hear your word. And we give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. When you look in the mirror, what is your opinion of the person you see looking back at you? Another way of asking this question is, what's your opinion of yourself, or how do you define yourself? Are you happy where you are? Well, if you're in Christ, you should be. Amen. But if you're not, as I said earlier, hope certainly not lost, because Jesus is still Lord, isn't he? Yeah. Oh, yes, he is. He is still Lord. And many times we can become discouraged because we are not further along professionally, financially. We look at ourselves and we think, man, I wish I was over here, I wish I was over there. And please don't make this mistake. Even the Bible forbids it, that we compare ourselves with someone else. And that's real easy to do, because we live in a competitive world. Amen. We live in a competitive world. So too many times we want to take a look at someone else and where they are and say, oh, dear Lord, I wish I was there. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And when you do that, you're opening the doors wide open for the devil to tell you everything that he wants you to hear about yourself, and none of it's good. Am I talking to somebody today? Amen. So let's begin in the book of Galatians. Turn in your Bible to Galatians, the second chapter. Galatians, the second chapter. Very familiar verse to many of you. Now, I want you to, the verse I'm getting ready to read to you, I want you to make it personal. Make it personal. I want you to see God talking to you and the Word of God talking about you. You hear me? Amen. Galatians chapter 2, beginning at verse 20, it says, I have been, notice something here, I have been, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible, but the regular King James says the same thing. I have been, now, that's past tense, isn't it? When you study your word, when you study the Bible, you need to look closely at what it's saying. Some things are past tense, some things are present tense, and some things are future tense. I have been is past tense. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Now you got to understand something. If you are born again, you have been crucified with Christ. Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. We know this. Our sins were laid upon him. He took them to the grave. The old James, the old me, the old you have been nailed to the cross. Crucified with Christ Jesus. And it tells us also in Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Too many times we are still looking at the old us. We are focused on the old us. And that's where the devil wants you to focus. He wants you looking back at the time when he had you. He wants you to beat yourself up for because of things you used to do. But wait a minute. We just read it. The things that we used to do have been nailed to his cross. He took him to the grave. That will never be laid to my charge. How dare anybody accuse me or you concerning who you used to be? Because that's who you used to be. That's how you used to live. That's how you used to talk. But we've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah there. Oh, you got to get that. You got to get a hold of that. Christ lives in me. Me, say it.
Christ lives in me.
Say it again.
Christ lives in me.
Well, then? If Christ is living in us, then that automatically makes us valuable. Automatically. Because God chose us to live in. Yes, he changed us on the inside. He made us a brand new creature, a brand new person. But he's now living on the inside of us. And if you're not born again, all you have to do is ask him in, and he'll come in and live on the inside of you, change you on the inside, and work on you from the inside out. Amen. But you just don't understand. But, just always remember this. Don't ever forget, it's goats that butt. So if you're a sheep, don't be concerned about butting. You just receive. Now let me read. So I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And look at this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, we're still in the flesh. In other words, we're still in our bodies. Amen? We're still in our bodies. I live how? I live how?
By faith.
By faith in the Son of God. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Please hear me. Hear me real good. This walk that we walk, this life that we live, is a faith life. It is a faith walk. My goodness, if you try to judge yourself based on what you have done or have not done, you'll pull your hair out. Of course, that's not what happened to me. Mine just left. But you understand what I'm saying? This is a faith walk. And there are many voices out there that's going to tell you you don't measure up, going to tell you you can't do this and you can't do the other. But you have to understand, this is a faith walk. This life that I live right now, I live by faith in the Son of God. And I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do. I can be who he says I can be. I am who he says I am. But you have to understand something. There is opposition. There are voices that's going to tell you you're not worth 2 cents. There are voices that tell you you're lower than a snake's belly. You're just never going to make it. You're not going to measure. Don't you ever listen to that. You get in this book and you find out what God says about you, and you receive that, and you walk in it. You walk in it. But what if things are just going bad? You stay focused. You stay focused. You have to remember, there is no victory without a fight. So, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. And what else did he do? He gave himself for me. Hallelujah. So we have to stop sometime and think, what do I really think of myself? What do I think of myself? Sometimes we define ourselves based on what's happening right now. What's happening right now may not be comfortable. What's happening right now, you may not like in particular. But don't you base anything on what's happening right now. You base everything on what he has said. Well, Pastor, I don't have two pennies to rub together. I just don't know what I'm going to do. You base yourself and your life on what he has said. Can I tell you something else? If all you have is a penny, I got a suggestion for you. Give it away. And if you don't have a penny, find something you do have and give it away. Bless somebody else with it. Why am I saying that? Because if you have a need, the Word of God already says, give. Give, and it would be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, would men give unto your bosom. For what measure you meet or give, it's going to be measured back to you again. The widow had it right. She had it right. She put everything she had in the offering. And Jesus was looking. And don't misunderstand what I'm doing. I'm not taking up offering. I'm ministering the Word of God. She put everything she had in the offering. And Jesus was watching. And he was amazed by her faith. And he made this statement that all she had was her little widow's mite, one little thing she gave. And Jesus made the statement, and he was watching all the other ones giving, and they was giving out of their abundance. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. They were giving out of their abundance. But Jesus made this statement that she gave more than they were given. Why? God don't measure things the same way we do. She gave all she had. She made the greater sacrifice. But you know something? She became a blessed woman. How do I know that? Because Jesus was looking. I want you to understand something. Wherever you are right now, Jesus is looking. He's living on the inside of you. And he knows. He's watching what you do. He's watching what you do. Amen. Don't define yourself by where you are right now, financially, physically, or any other way. You keep your eyes in God's word and you tell yourself what God says about you. You say about you what God says about you. You listening to me? If God called me blessed, I need to call myself blessed. And I do. I'm blessed. If God calls me victorious, then I'm victorious, whether it looks like it or not. I'm victorious. The devil tells you you're never going to achieve your dreams. You say you're a liar and the father of lies. And I'll tell you what my dream is. You want to hear what my dream is? My dream is to please my Father in whatever I do. Because you have to understand something. Sometimes God's plan for your life is different than your plan for your life. Are you still here? Let me say that again. Sometimes God's plans for your life or our lives are different than our plans for our lives. If you'd have asked me years ago if I would ever be a pastor, I'd have told you you're crazy. Never. But God had other ideas. God had other plans for my life. So I made a decision. I'm going to follow his plans. And listen, when you're following God, you're always successful regardless of the way it looks. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes you may have to follow him through the desert and it's hot and dry, but that's all right. You are very successful because you are following him. Amen. You're following him. And that's what brings that peace. One person may swim across the pond. God may tell you to walk around the pond. Don't become envious of the fella that's swimming across the pond. You just do what God told you and walk around the pond. He's already across, got his tent set up, got his lemonade and sipping while you still walking. That's okay. You're in God's plan for your life. Are you listening to me? I believe this is helping somebody. Hallelujah. You know how to swim. And the fella that's swimming across said, hey, come on, man, join me. Let's us swim across together. But hold on. Nope, that ain't what God told me. He told me to walk around. So I'm going to walk. It's a little warm out here. Got to watch where I step. But I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to walk around the pond. And I'm still going to get where I need to be when I need to be there. Because if you swim across the pond, you may get there too soon. I sure hope y'all follow me on this. Let me say that again. If you can swim, but if you swim across the pond, you may get there too soon. You may get there quicker than God wants you to get there. But if you walk around, you get there just at the right time. It sound crazy to y'all, or is it making sense? Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me tell you this. keep your thoughts in check. Your thoughts will run wild. They'll run wild. Unless you keep them in check. Unless you keep them in line with God's word. Amen. Amen. I won't go over there, but you can read it later in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. I'm not going to turn there. But at the end of that verse, at the end of that verse, it says, think on these things. You can just write it down. Amen. There's some things that we need to think on. There are other things we don't need to think on. Amen. Hallelujah. So take authority over your thoughts. Take authority over your thoughts. And you can be deceived into thinking the wrong thing about yourself. Remember Eve? You know the story. God gave them a command not to eat of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, don't eat it. Right? He told Adam, don't eat it, because the day you eat it, you're going to die. But evidently it was good looking fruit. It looked good enough that Satan could use it to deceive Eve. Now I know you see in books and magazines or whatever, you know, they always identify the fruit as an apple. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say it was an apple. I don't know where that came from, but since most people think it was an apple, the Bible does not. Let me say again, the Bible does not say it was an apple. But since a lot of people think it was an apple, I use this as an example. You know, now there are shiny apples, delicious looking apple. And frankly, I love a delicious apple. I do. I love a delicious apple, you know. But now, what do you think Eve would have said if Satan would have presented her with a half-rotten apple? She would have rejected it because that's not attractive. The Bible says she saw that the fruit was good for food. In other words, what it was saying, it looked delicious. Isn't that amazing? There are things that look good, taste good, feel good, sound good, that we need to stay away from. And again, the Bible does not say apple, okay? We're just using that as an example. But if the apple looks delicious, does not mean you're supposed to bite it if God says don't eat it. Amen. Right? Amen. Amen. But Satan took something very beautiful, attractive, delicious looking, and he deceived Eve. Notice he deceived her. And she began to think. She began to think. Her thoughts went to work. And she looked at that thing and said, wow, this looks good for food. This sure looks delicious. And she even remembered what God had said, not to eat that fruit. And she told Satan what God had said, and then and Satan said, God lied. God's trying to keep something from you. He don't want you to live the good life. That's the reason he don't want you to eat this food. He don't want you to live the good life. So she was deceived into eating the forbidden fruit. Because what happened, folks? Let me tell you what happened. Are you ready for this? The devil got inside of her head. Now he's got her thinking things that's contrary to what God has said. Well, he hadn't changed the game, folks. It may not be food, but he wants to get in your head to convince you that things are different than what God said. He wants to convince you that you are different than who God says you are and what he's made you to be. Wants to get in your head. Wants to get you to thinking. Oh, maybe this is okay. After all, God will he'll understand. How many of you have ever done something on the inside you know I shouldn't do this? And I'm not saying it's something real bad. It's just something that cost you later. Doesn't mean it's necessarily something real bad. Years and years and years ago, we bought a car. God told me to leave that car alone, but no, I went and bought it. Cost me a lot of money, unnecessarily. Because I got to thinking. And by the way, let me tell you something about this car I bought. It was one good-looking car. It was a good-looking car. Matter of fact, I can tell you, it's been a lot of years ago. It's been back in the 70s. But it was those of you close to my age, you will remember this particular car. Not mine, but this make of car. It was a 19, Deacon, listen to me. It was a 1973 Ford LTD fully loaded. 8-track tape player and all. Vinyl top. I mean, they left nothing off. Jim, I was working at the Pepsi plant at that time. I don't know if you remember that car, but I was working with a guy on the can line. And I'm so proud of my little car, and God had already spoke to me, leave that car where it is. But no, I wanted the car. And so I'm talking to my coworker there. We're running cans on the can line, and so I was talking to him about my car and how proud of my car, how proud I was of my car, and all the things that had on the car. And I tell you what, he just burst my bubble. messed up my day when he looked at me and says, well, does it have an aspirin dispenser? I thought, whoa. But what he was telling me is, you just purchased a headache. Man, was he right. My wife said we purchased a migraine. We start having problem with this vehicle, and I couldn't get rid of the thing. Different mechanics looking at it, and everybody telling me, man, this is going to cost you a lot of money, and this is an engine problem you got. Well, all Kathy and I could do was just barely afford to pay for it, make the monthly payments. I wasn't prepared to do anything beyond that, maybe get the oil change. So guess what? I had to get rid of the car. Lost one, I traded, and couldn't keep this one. Now, I told you this little story simply because I didn't commit any great sin. I just didn't follow what God was telling me. God was trying to tell me, stay away from this vehicle. Stay away from this vehicle. God knew some things about it that I didn't know. And if I'd have listened to God, I'd have never known what was wrong with the vehicle, but I found out what was wrong with it. Amen. But here's what I'm saying. I told you that little story to say this. My thoughts was running wild. Man, I like this car. Now, I was saved at that time, but now this is the early 70s. I was saved at that time, but I still had a lot of growing to do, okay? Spiritually growing, you know. I could see myself in this thing. Now I'm talking about my thought process now, how that can get you in a lot of trouble. Remember Eve and the apple? The forbidden fruit, not the apple. But I could see myself sitting in that thing with my sunglasses on. Oh, say it, sister. My sunglasses on. Hat kind of cocked a little bit to the side. My suit, because you know I'm driving to church, I'm saved. I'm sitting back, and then mama in the passenger side looking good. And when I step out of my Ford LTD, folks going to look and their mouths going to fly open. Oh, what a beautiful car. What a fine car. And all these thoughts running through my head. And the devil was saying, ha ha, I got you. I got you. I got you to thinking. God told you to leave that car alone, but no, you started thinking of other things, how this would benefit you and this and what folks would think about you and all like that, and it got me in trouble. Cost me money, a lot of money. But one good thing came out of it. I learned. It's one thing to make a mistake and then go back and make that same mistake again over and over. We need to learn. If we blow it, learn from it. Amen? Watch out for your thoughts. What are you thinking about? What do you think about yourself? See, that same principle can apply to yourself. You know, things are not going the way you think they ought to be going, and then you just, in your head, you're beating yourself up. That's not what God wants you to do. That's the time to take a praise break. You hear me? That's the time to take a praise break. I'm getting ready to wind this up, but I want you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Just wanted to speak into your hearts today. Hallelujah. Make a decision that I'm going to think about myself the way God thinks about me. And how do I know what God thinks about me and how he thinks about me? Right here. Amen? Right here. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Look at verse 8. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." You see that? "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." Don't ever forget that. You hear me? Yeah. Don't ever forget that. Hallelujah. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God thinks more of us than we think of ourselves. Amen. If we blow it, if we mess up, we go to God, just confess it, "Lord, I messed up," and leave it there. And God says to you, "I got this. You come follow me. Follow me." After all, we're told to be followers of God like little children. Isn't that right? Yeah. We're told to follow him, follow him, follow him in our ways and in our thoughts. In our ways and in our thoughts. Because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Therefore, if I'm going to think like him, then I'm going to think of myself higher than I do presently. Not out of pride, selfish pride. No, 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 no. I told you, when was it, Wednesday night? Or it might have been Sunday, I'm not sure. Jesus said, "Love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind." Remember that? And what else did he say? Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It is all right to love yourself. It's all right to love yourself. We're not talking about prideful arrogance, none of that. I love me because God loves me. If God didn't love me, I wouldn't love me either. But God loves me, and that would never change. God loves you, and that would never change. Are you still here? Glory be to God. And we're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet, not us. But the life that we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And guess what? I'm going to make it. Guess what? I'm going to be victorious. Now I'm talking about me. Why don't you talk about you? Come on. Amen. And anybody say anything to the contrary, don't you receive it. Don't you believe it. I'm going with what God said. Amen. And don't let your thoughts run wild. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. And your word would never, ever return back to you void. But it will accomplish your will. If we stay with your word, abide by your word, think your word, talk your word.